Well, first of all, my name's Buddy. Now, that's what everybody knows me as. My birth name was Harry Truman England. And I don't like that name, so you'll never guess who the president was the year I was born. I am a retired truck driver of 48 years over the road. I've seen most of the original 48 states. I've done a lot of things I wasn't proud of, because I know you've all heard a lot of these trucker tales and these trucker stories. I'm here to tell you they're true. I'm not guilty of most of them. Some of them I am, and I openly admit it. But I did the only thing I could do to help my wife keep a roof over our head to feed our children and have a home and food on the table. I was born in 1945 to a mother that didn't want me. She married my stepfather a year and 1 week after I was, well, I was a year and 1 week old when they got married, and they neither one wanted me, and she was just out for a good time the night that I was conceived, and she told me this out of her own mouth 2 years before she died. That was the last conversation I had with her. I forgive her. I forgave her then. I've asked God to forgive her. I hold no grudge. I hold no resentment, because a child has no say and who they're born to or in how they're born. But my grandparents loved me enough to take me and raise me and teach me right from wrong. And I would have probably be dead or in jail if it hadn't been for that beautiful lady sitting right there that I met 51 years ago and we got married. So she's the love of my life, number two. Number one love of my life is God. And I thought I was really having a good time. I was out to see the world. Thought I had to make big bucks to get out and have a time and holler and hoop and carry on foolishness and drink. Never did drugs. I tried them when I first started driving truck, but I soon realized that 2 or 3 hours sleep did me a lot more good than a handful of pills did. Because I could sleep 2 or 3 hours and work 24 to 36 hours. I could take a handful of pills, and I'd be good to if I could get to Memphis and back before I went to sleep. I never was much of a drinker. I did drink some, and I smoked for a while. And when we got married, I was sitting in a beer joint one Saturday morning, and a friend of mine, we opened it up every Saturday morning and closed it every Saturday night. Never went home drunk, but I did drink. I was sitting there one Saturday morning, and this gentleman got up to go to the bathroom, and he was so drunk, if he had fallen, he couldn't have hit the floor. And I pictured myself in his place. And I told my friend, I said, well, that's it. I said, I'm through with drinking. That's not the life for me. And I quit smoking basically the same way. I started home from work one night, and I opened up a brand new pack of cigarettes. I smoked one on the way home, and I said, you know, this is nothing but a habit, and I'm not going to let a habit control my life. I went home and pitched them up on the TV, and she laughed at me because I had done it before. They laid there, the leg out as hard as this wood right here. She wouldn't even move them to dust around them. And they laid there to lay this. Well, I finally had to throw them away, and that was for about 48 years ago. I quit smoking and drinking both. I went on with my life, and I was a filthy mouth. I used language that most people wouldn't have wanted flushed down their commodes. And we bought us a house in Columbia, and my wife had epilepsy, and it was in remission for almost 25 years, and it came back with a vengeance. And my daughter lived here in Lewisburg and had three boys in school. She was driving back and forth from here to Columbia to take care of my wife when the boys was in school and take her to Vanderbilt to be treated and everything. And we were sitting there one weekend. I was at home, and I said, you know, I said, I've been thinking. I said, why don't we sell the house and move to Lewisburg and buy us one over there as a convenience? And we thought, well, I thought it was a convenience move for my wife and my daughter. But God had something else in plan that I didn't know about. But we moved over here, and we have met some of the most fantastic people, especially one lady. We went to H&R Block to get our taxes done, and I met Linda Sherrill. The most precious, next to my wife, is the most precious lady I have ever met in my life. She did her taxes, and she talked about Mike a lot. She talked about her puppies a lot. She talked about church a lot. She wanted to know where I went to church. I said, I don't go to church. I don't have time. I'm busy working. She said, well, some Sunday, she told me that she came to church here. She said, some Sunday when you're out, said if you're off work, said, come by and visit with us. I'd like for you to see our little church. I said, okay. I just shrugged it off and went on. Well, this went on for, Lord, I don't know, several months or even a year. And two or three times a week, I'd get a phone call from Linda. And every time we'd go to get her taxes done, she'd, when are you coming to visit our church? She said you was going to. I said, well, I am. I just when I get time. I was like everybody else, you know. I thought, well, I've never seen the Lord. I've seen what he's done, but I was like most people, you know. If you can't see it and you can't touch it, it's kind of hard to believe in something like that. I mean, you can feel the wind and you can hear it, but you can't see it. Well, God works the same way. And she just kept on and on and on. And one Sunday morning, we was at home, and I told my wife, I said, let's get dressed and go to church. I said, the only way I'm going to get Linda Sherrill off my back is to go to church. Well, I didn't know what was taking or fixing to take place. So we got dressed. We came to church on Sunday morning. We sat through. Well, we didn't get here for Sunday school, but we got here for the service, and which I enjoyed the sermon very much, and it touched my heart. I sat there and looked at him. When he got through, I shook his hand, told him I enjoyed the sermon, and I left. This went on for, Lord, I don't know, 6 months or so. But every Sunday night and Wednesday night when I was at home, we were here at church. I still wasn't saved, but I came to church. My wife grew up, was raised in church. She was Church of Christ. I mean, I don't hold that against her. And she was born in Alabama. I don't hold that against her either, you know. But we kept coming and coming and coming, and one Sunday morning, we came to church like we had normally done. And I always sat on the back pew back there where Brother David is. I figured, well, if they go to getting too hot on me, I can close to the door and get out real quick, you know. And we were sitting back there, and after service was over, everybody hugged, shook hands, loved everybody. They got up and walking out. And my wife and I, Mike and Linda, and I don't know why, but all of a sudden, we were talking in the conversation, and I looked up at Brother Terry, and I said, you know, I'm not a born-again Christian, but I believe in God. I know there's a God. God has touched my body, because the second day of February in 1977, I had a truck wreck over here on old Highway 50, right there at the county line, that little beer joint they call Midway. The steering locked on my truck, and I went off in that 3-foot ditch, and I laid it over, and it broke everything on my right side. And when I came to, I was laying about 75 foot on my stomach up from the truck, and it was still laying on the side running. I have no earthly idea how I got there. There was nobody around the truck, nobody around me. The state trooper came in from the interstate. The ambulance came from Columbia. They said there was no traffic on that road. They didn't, neither one, meet anybody anywhere. They got me to the emergency room, and they carried me in, and my wife got there. And Dr. Kenneth Moore came out and told her, and said, if he lives the first 24 hours, we'll give him a 50-50 chance of coming out of this. But the first 24 hours, they didn't give me anything. So later on that night, and I kind of went comatose, and they said, well, there's either two things that'll happen. He'll either go into pneumonia or he'll die. Well, I didn't do either one. And somebody asked me about it, said, how did you come out of that wreck like you did? I said, mister, there's only one explanation I've got, and she'll verify what I'm fixing to say. I've said it every time since 1977 that I was asked. The only reason I did not die was because the Lord wasn't ready for me to come home. He had something planned for me. I had no earthly idea, the sinner that I was. And I've had preachers tell me that that's not right. You was a sinner. God had, and the angels had, and the Holy Spirit had absolutely nothing to do with that, because you were a sinner. They wouldn't have anything to do with that. I said, you'll never convince me of anything else.
Amen.
And to this day, the reason I'm alive is because God wasn't ready for me to die. And I finally, after the anyway, back to that Sunday, we were standing back there talking, and I told Brother Terry, I said, you know, I'm not a born-again Christian, but I do believe in God. I've seen his miracles. I've seen the work that he's done. I mean, all you got to do is open your eyes and look, and God's everywhere. You don't have to see him, and you don't have to feel him, but he's there. And he'll be there with you all the time. And I thought, man, I'm having a good time, you know, kicking up my heels and making good money, you know. I thought I was living the life of Riley. But when I told Brother Terry that, he said, we need to go back up to the front. So we came, walked down that side. We had different pews then, but they were basically like lined up there. I was sitting right, we sat down there where that pretty lady's sitting right there. And he began to let me read verses in the chapter, and you know, in the Bible. And every time I'd read one, he said, what does that mean to you? What do you get from it? I said, well, what I get from what I just read is if I don't, or God doesn't convict my heart and I don't accept him as my Savior, I'm going to split hell wide open when I die. And everything I read told me the same thing. And I sit right there on that pew, and I said, I'm a sinner. I said, I believe in you. I love you. I trust you. I put my faith in you, and I ask forgiveness of my sins because I want to live a better life. I've got loved ones that have gone on, and I know they're in heaven. And someday I want to see them. And when we come in here, we're at home. This church will always have a special place in my heart. And the members here will always have a special place. And I just love it dearly. But now that I'm a Christian, I've got to do what God wants me to do. I serve him to his obedience, not mine. It's his will that I follow, not mine. Because if I followed mine, I'd probably be back out in the beer joints and truck stops and everywhere else, but I don't want to do that anymore. And I used to think that was fun, and I used to think I was having a good time and I was at peace, but I didn't know what enjoying life was, and I didn't know what peace and joy was until I asked God to forgive me. I can get up with a clear conscience. I can go to bed with a clear conscience. And I love it. I love it. I can't say it enough. And that's about the story, that as far as I can take it, Brother David.